Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I got a fan favorite, one of my favorites, right here in the flesh. He's belligerent. He's disruptive. Last time, it took the worldwide phenomenon to another level.
He's always right. Don't forget that one.
He thinks he's always right. I got the great Wood Harrison here for the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Return guest.
French Montana saying, hey.
My man, Wood Harris, who just, we just worked on, listen, there's so many different things. Let me just stay focused here. The last time we did the podcast, the world was a different place, Wood.
It's true.
Okay? It was all fun and games the last time we did the podcast. If you didn't hear the first and second time, we did the full Wood Harris interview, which is up, part of the Iron Rapport signature series, and now we got part two. It's not even like a guest. It's a guest because I have such respect for this dude as an actor and as a dude, but he's really kind of like part of the show.
All right.
Again, I will say he's belligerent, so if things get out of hand, you hear mic drops, nothing physical will go down, but there could be some off-mic arguing. We got the great Wood Harris in the building for the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Wood, what's really good, Wood?
Man, I'm good, Mike, and I'm glad to do this with you, man. It is a lot to talk about.
There's so much. I don't even know where to start. We could just start with congratulating everybody that had to do with the smash hit New Edition movie for BET. Me and Wood worked on that. We had a couple of scenes in passing, little light work, but it was a pleasure to see you do your thing. And I'm always reminded every time I watch you acting, no matter what it is, just how good you are and how much respect I have for you. One of a kind, totally unique. Like when I watch you work, I think of water. Like I think your shit is just pure water. Like you could play ball, but it's a little clunky. Like, I would never say that your game was ice water. Like, I seen you bang on dudes.
You seen me bang on dudes.
He got that old school Dr. J shit. But I wouldn't say your game is water, Wood. But as an actor, pure water. You can't have everything, okay?
I could accept that.
Fine. So you tore it up. The movie was a huge success.
Likewise, too, Mike. Thank you.
Fun movie.
Likewise. Fun movie. We're very fortunate.
Very fortunate.
Because you never know how those biopics going to turn out.
No.
And really, you never know how any of them are really going to turn out. And
do you know when you're working on a movie or a show? Can you tell? I could tell.
You get a
this
gut
one
feeling.
Exceeded my, but I knew it was going to be good.
It exceeded.
But can you tell here? Forget this. Can you tell when you're making a piece of shit?
I think I can more tell when it's probably not going to be that great.
Okay, you want to call it not be great? I should call it a piece of shit.
Piece of shit is harsh.
It's harsh. But I can tell, like, yo, I'll tell my mom or my father, my friends, I'll tell the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast, don't waste your time. Because if I say it's good and in my heart I know it's not good, then I look like an asshole and they'll be like, you just
we can't trust him. You lose all credibility like
right.
that.
Right. Like I will tell like the people close to me, I will tell the listeners of the show, like, just watch something else. You know, there's plenty of stay on your phone, watch something else. You know, tell you know, your Uber didn't pick you up, whatever, your car broke down. Don't waste your time. But do you know when you're doing something that quote unquote not very good?
Yeah, I feel like you get a gut feeling before you even start shooting it sometimes because you can see how passionate the director is or isn't. You can see how passionate and how much the producers really want the piece to be the best thing.
Right.
Some people just want to get something over.
They want to get it done.
They want to get it done, and they might not be having, like, director might not have a good relationship anymore with people who like the producers and whatnot, and or they might have a poor relationship with some of the actors, and that all really affects it all. That really does.
It stinks from the head down.
It starts stinking from the head down. And sometimes you can be in a project that might seem like, oh, I don't know what's going to, like, Remember the Titans, to me, I couldn't figure that to be like what it was going to be.
Really?
Or The Wire, yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
well, you talked about The Wire last time.
Yeah,
but
I think we did, yeah.
Because you weren't watching The Wire.
I didn't watch The Wire. I didn't watch the stuff. I haven't watched the stuff I'm in. But I the fanfare, you would just never, I just never thought it would be like it is.
It's, right.
You know, there was no predicting that.
Avon Barksdale, every day someone says that to you.
Yeah, every day.
When you walk into a gas station late at night, are they like, oh, shit.
Somebody might say that or, yeah, something like that.
But because that struck a nerve.
It struck a nerve, and I'm glad about that.
All right. You know. Now, before we get into to basketball, to the world that's changed since the last time you did the podcast.
Cute little world we live in.
Oh, my goodness.
It's cute.
Oh, my goodness. Last time it was all about how Wood hate Steph Curry solely because he's light-skinned. We'll get to it. We'll get to it later. We'll get to it. We don't want to rush. But just because I just want to fan out and let the fans fan out, what else have you been working on as an actor recently?
I did Blade Runner with Ryan Gosling.
See, I love how you just say that, like, it's just like the thing about Wood Harris, like, you're one of the few people who, to me, is a pure artist. Like, you're like, I remember I saw you on the street. You were like, oh, I just did Blade Runner. I was like, if I did Blade Runner, I'd have a fucking pom-pom. I'd be like,
no,
yo, I just
Mike.
Did Blade. But you're just so chill about it. So Blade Runner's a big-ass.
It's a big-ass movie.
did you feel the bigness?
Felt the bigness. We shot in Budapest. You know, I knew the producers. I knew Ryan already from Remember the Titans. And I went from working on a project in New York, comes out February 20th, called The Breaks.
Right.
To going and shooting Blade Runner. But you know what? It's kind of like, I guess, the way I look at it is like, I don't know what the movie's going to be like.
Right.
You know, so.
But did you feel
I'm not excited about, I was excited about getting the opportunity, but when I'm done with it, I really don't know what it's going to be like, so I kind of get it away from my head. Like,
right.
I can't celebrate. You know, I can't have a celebration. I already celebrated, in fact, being there and being around good people and stuff like that and doing the work and just being focused. That's kind of the celebration, but I don't know what it's going to be like.
Did you feel the bigness of doing, like, a big studio movie that, with a huge, hot star right now? Like,
yeah,
he's hot
definitely,
right now.
Definitely.
And, like was this, you know, and also, is a movie set in Budapest, although you're doing an American film, is it the same as a movie set in Baltimore?
Nah.
What's different about, like, the way a set's run over there?
Well, the way the set was run over there, in fact, when you're working in other countries, there's certain rules that they have to go by. SAG and other unions, they have rules, so you have to use a certain amount of people from the area that you're working in. So if you're in Budapest, you have people working from Budapest in the film and in some acting capacity too, a little bit.
Right. But like, is craft service and is like
craft service is a little different too, depending on where you are. You know, the food craft services win for people who don't know. Craft services is on movie sets. The
snacks
people,
and shit.
Yeah, they cater the snacks, the gummy bears, the pretzels, a bunch of shit cats don't like. I don't really eat pretzels and gummy bears. And bananas and apples is all they have. And
but big, like the
cheese
difference,
platters and friggin'
right,
salami, the, shit the, like the crackers.
The difference between like sets, like the budget, like I would imagine, like on a big budget film like Blade Runner 3, like you could have some fly shit. Maybe not in Budapest because like there's no Trader Joe's.
Fly. It was super fly. It was super fly. Like
did they have like tahini and all that fly shit? Like like was it or?
Oh yeah, well the set food was actually excellent. I did Ant-Man. Ant-Man had the best. Like I had a solar powered trailer.
Right.
I had like you know, every meal was really like a high end meal. But in Budapest, they asked me whatever I wanted. You know, it's kind of like, what would you like to eat or whatever? And you tell them, and I'm kind of the same. I'll eat like a Caesar salad the right. whole time. Like, I just eat the same shit like the whole time, kind of.
And what's Ryan Gosling's deal? Because I'm a fan of his. I like him. I never met him.
Oh,
I never met him.
Oh, Ryan's cool. Super cool. Dog.
He's a cool
you would
dude.
Love Ryan. Super cool. First of all, Ryan is the nicest guy you ever met. And it's true. I mean, a real nice person. You know, there's some people who are nice. Ryan Gosling is genuinely kind-hearted, nice. He's how to describe him? I mean, he's a great artist. He's artistic. And then he's, man, it's hard to describe Ryan because he's so normal in a sense.
But, dude, like, to see somebody like you, and Remember the Titans, he's just actor number 9 on the call sheet, then to go to be, like, Academy Award.
Well, let me say this about Ryan. Even in Remember the Titans, so he was like actor number 9 or wherever he was on the call sheet. He was doing major character work because even then we thought one way of Ryan. We never knew he was in character the whole time. He was already being like the Ryan we see now. And before that,
you mean
he
like
had,
on some like he would be in character off.
He was in character
off,
the whole
when the
time.
Camera's
the
camera
was very very specific, and it was not like Ryan. And he was in character the whole time, and you know, he's the type of an actor you can that you can tell is in his character. You know,
right?
You don't want to like move him away from the reality he's creating. You know,
are you on that shit?
I am on that. I think that like
it depends, right?
Yeah, it just depends because some workloads ain't the same. You know,
right?
Like you don't really got to do it sometimes, but really the acting is just living truthfully in the imaginary circumstance. So the more you can believe the imaginary circumstance, really the better actor. And then it's about listening. Like you want to listen to people. So your eyes, because in a movie, it's different than theater. In theater, you can almost fake listen and do a bunch of acting, schmacting. But in film, you can't because it'll be right on your eye. So if we film in Higher Learning and your eyes ain't giving it up.
Uh-huh.
You see sometimes when actors don't. You see they have that deadpan stare.
Right.
It's not even a deadpan stare. Excuse me. It's more like a searching for my lines or they could be lost in what you're doing. Like they could be in a mesmerized place because of you.
Well, right? I'm known for mesmerizing actors. You saw it happen.
I've seen it happen.
I mesmerize motherfuckers like I'm like, yo, be professional.
No, Mike,
I'm good, but you don't have to, dude. I mean, like, stay be a pro.
Be
just
a pro.
Be a
right.
fucking
don't
pro.
Don't be losing character. Right?
Like, just try to
dropping
be a pro. Like, I know it's hard. I know I'm on a different plane, but be a fucking pro. You are getting paid.
But you are actually on a different plane.
Thank
because
you
come from, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but we come from like old school movie world. Like damn near, we're closer to, you know, James Cagney and those cats than we are some of the more current actors. Like
right.
the newest generation of actors. I think that we're probably more akin to, you know, the old school cats who never, like these guys who never, it's almost like, children never seeing a home phone, you know, a landline. Like, a lot of actors, they never seen those big cameras we saw. They never,
right.
They never saw dailies, like,
right.
that took, like, time to like, process.
Right. It's crazy because everything is digital now.
Yeah.
You can literally watch everything right there.
Right away.
The shit,
that's
right.
why movies are more abundant because they can be made faster.
Yeah, it's crazy. You could literally shoot a take. You can shoot
it.
A scene, edit the fucking scene, and that, by lunchtime have a rough cut of it.
Have a rough cut of it.
I mean, and there's good and bad to that.
But you're dope because you're a director, too. I mean, let's not forget, like, that and Tribe came out with a new record.
Yes.
Fife Pass.
Yes.
I didn't even think I talked to you. We ain't talk no hip-hop. This time we got to talk a little hip-hop.
Yes, we got to talk hip-hop.
Cats don't know motherfuckers know hip-hop.
Yeah, we're going to talk some hip-hop. What did you think of the Tribe record?
You know, man, I'm a fan I'm just a fan. I'm one of those diehard fans when I'm a fan. So, you know, I still like other Tribe stuff more.
Right.
You've watched them beat out something that they made before, and you haven't seen that happen again.
Right,
so
right.
That's all it is.
Right.
It's tough, though.
It was tough. I mean, I think that they achieved it at points on this new record.
I agree with you.
There's moments of
the Tribe was consistent back in the days, though.
Well, the first three.
Like, you listen to the whole album.
The first three is, you can't, fuck, man.
But you still got to go by that, though, because they did
it. Of course. They set the bar so high, and I think that's one of the reasons why it took them, even before, you know, with the great Fife Dawg passing, one of the reasons why, because the bar was so high, it's like, shit, can we achieve that? And they became very well aware of that. So the new album for me, I you know, to hear Fife, to hear Tip, to hear them rock together, and to hear them, although I think that the record isn't classic, they reached those classic moments on the record, and I was just glad they got it done with all the adversity, and obviously the Fife factor.
Passing the Fife, and to hear Fife, too.
It bugged me out.
So it bugged me out, but it made me feel good in a way.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't know it would make me feel good. I was like, oh, that's Fife. But then I liked it. I was like, man, he's kind of alive in these moments. So I like
totally alive.
Yeah, that's
and he
what
sounded
I like.
Great.
He sounded great.
And the puns and you know, Tip, and they did it. It was tough, man. It was a tough fucking I'm sure, he's always hard on himself. But to make that, it hasn't even been a year since this dude passed.
I know, man.
There's
been no time.
Knock on wood, man. Your health is everything. Before we go into more hip hop, what have you seen? What actors? The Academy Awards are coming up. What have you seen? What have you not seen? What's excited you? Oh. What's impressed you?
I've seen a few of them. I watch them. I saw La La Land. I saw Moonlight.
What did you think of Moonlight? Because last time I saw you, you didn't see Moonlight.
I hadn't seen it. Moonlight was well made. I like that film in the sense of how it was made. It's tough subject matter to watch. And so because of that, you know, you feel the distance that the subject matter might make with some people. And, you know, you don't want to be one of those people. But it's one of those things you watch and you kind of like don't know how you feel about what you just seen. But it's well enough made that you could feel that way.
Right.
So if it would have been messed up or not properly made, you wouldn't really feel that way.
Right.
So it's a well-made film. It's extremely well-made. It's, you know, a tough subject matter.
Yeah, it ain't a feel-good movie.
Yeah, it's not a feel-good movie at any time.
It's a hard film to watch
because
it's about abuse.
It looks great, though.
It looks, the director fucked my head up.
Yeah, the director, I saw Arrival.
Okay.
Yeah, that director did Blade Runner. So
In
Budapest. Yeah.
Okay.
That movie was very good.
And what about what else did you see? Did you see your man Denzel and Fences?
I saw Fences too.
What did you think of that?
I think Fences is tough. You know, here's the thing about there's just schools of acting, and then there's our business has an evolution. You know, and if we have to be part of that, we have to be part of that evolution as the artists in it. And sometimes, you know, as much as I love Denzel, and I do, and I love Fences, I just think that in a movie like that, I would like to see more freedom with the actors. All the actors seem like Denzel to me, you know.
Uh-huh.
They all seem like they came from that school.
Okay.
But I ain't really from the Denzel school of acting, so I would love to work with him because the contrast would be there.
Right.
They all handle the text almost like Denzel would have.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Part of that's directing. I can see Denzel maybe controlling the actors a little because he's such a good actor.
Right.
Maybe asking for actors to do things he would do.
Right.
Which indeed, if you do that enough, it just makes one voice happen.
I got you.
So, well, I kind of felt like that about it, you know. But I love the play. I've done the play before.
Did you
I
do
wanna
it?
Do Ma Rainey.
Okay.
Hopefully the film version of Ma Rainey.
You know, they're doing, he has
them all, I know.
HBO, like he's doing all of them, right?
All of them. I got to do the
You got to do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna end up doing Ma Rainey.
You got to do it. I love
Ma Rainey.
You know,
shit.
I love your acting and your style of acting so much, and like I just have such respect for it. And like
Thank you, Mike.
And we're friends, but I say that I'm like, yo, I fuck with Wood, and like when I watch you, like even in the New Edition movie, I was like, this fucking guy, like you elevate shit.
That's weird, too. I don't, you know, it's just that's something that happens because people believe in you after a while, I believe, because I don't feel like I'm doing something different. You know, I don't feel like I'm doing anything different than I probably ever did, you know, now, in terms of my approach. Like, I just think after you show people some certain level of consistency, because you do the same thing, it's a we thing. We elevate the process or the project because people have seen enough of us.
They give you trust.
Yeah, they trust you already. Their expectations get met. They might expect you to be good, and then you're good. You know, or great, and you're great.
Right.
And so if you do that enough, like I remember going and buy. I'm gonna use hip hop analogies a little bit. So you go buy the Rakim, you expect that to be. You'd be let down if those albums you bought wasn't fresh.
Right.
You put them on. But because you expect it, you're already like, okay, I'm about to put this shit about to be dope.
You already.
And people feel that way about us sometimes because we're in a lot of their favorite things, like Paid in Full. Any fan of mine from Paid in Full, they have an expectation. Hopefully I meet their expectation. And as long as that happens, it's breeding consistency to the fan, you know? And then that person will tell somebody. And because we kind of like I said, we're from the James Cagney era. We need grassroots. You know, even if it's social media,
absolutely,
grassroots.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like the fan appreciation means everything.
Fan is what it's all about. Actually,
absolutely.
We would not be able to have consistency without it. So, I truly do love the fans. People who can look at us and say, "Man, I see the star."
Yes,
because they have to see a star. You know,
right?
Because we look in the mirror and you see Mike, I see Wood. I don't see nothing.
Yeah,
like
I just see a dusty. Motherfucker
don't get
with
Mike,
bad breath.
Yo, Mike is like fucking Eminem. He's so good at talking about himself.
No, but let me. The real question
He's
is:
the best at talking about himself.
This is a hard hitting question, and I want you to be honest, okay? Because there's been some rumors circulating. You had some questionable wigs in New Edition.
Oh Lord,
the New Edition movie. There's actually
that shit ain't funny neither, man.
No, listen to me. You had some questionable wigs. You had a fucking Jerry curl.
That shit ain't funny.
It looked like it was living on its own. Apparently that Jerry Curl
page is not funny, dog.
Is that Jerry Curl wig? Now apparently it was stolen. It's missing like Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey. Where is that fucking Jerry Curl wig? And can I have it? I would love to rock
Jerry Curl wig. Looked great. First
it looked
of all.
Good. It looked real as shit.
It
and that's why
real,
it was frightening.
Which is crazy.
I remember talking to you. I remember when I first got the set and I didn't know, like, you know, like it was 80s out and I'm like, talking to Wood, he got this fucking Jerry Curl wig on. And you're trying to have a normal, like, you're just talking to me regular. And I'm like, yo, my man, we're going to acknowledge this wig before we get into how's your family, how's your kids, what's up with your Knicks. I'm like, I need to talk about your wig piece, Duke, because your wig piece is a living, breathing entity, and it's on your fucking dome. So where's the wig, and where's Tom Brady's jersey? And cut the fucking shit, okay? Because the Texas Rangers are looking for the wig and the jersey right now.
The wig and the jersey is with OJ's knife. Okay. It's with OJ's knife. No, to be honest with you, I like the wig. I like wig work.
Do you?
Yeah, wig work is cool. I've not done that before. I've not done wig work.
Sitting down like the extra time in the trailer and the makeup and hair? Because it drives me fucking crazy.
Nah, they got to be fast, though. I don't like that. I don't like taking time. Like, so I don't like that. I don't like people taking time. But I use the time. I look at the script. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on a set, the thing that I notice about younger actors, and maybe if you are an actor and you're listening to this.
Listen to it, because it's coming from Wood Harris.
It's this thing here, and I'm sure you probably do this too, but when I'm on a set, you can be on a set about 12 hours or more, sometimes 8 hours. That's a short day on
the
set.
That's a short day. 12 hours is
about you get out 8 hours, you're like 14, happy, 15. Or you feel like your life is back to you.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing 12, 14, 15. Anyway, on the set the whole time, I'm really just doing the work. Like, when I'm not around people, I'm just in the room still looking at the script, still trying to figure out the lines, still trying to figure out a moment, too. I'm just trying to use my imagination the whole 12 hours because it's only going to be a few weeks or days or however long we're shooting. And for that whole time, so I don't go to the lunch thing with everybody and chill with lunch, and I tend to not do that a little bit. But I'm not off set from them, you know, in terms of I'm not like unavailable for the people, for the actors. I'm not hoity-toity kind
right,
of
right.
I'm just in the room. You can come
chilling.
In the room. I'm just going to be in the room looking at the script. Like, I'll even chop it up, but I really just want to look at the script.
Right.
Because I want to look at it, figure out something I don't know, see if I can find a moment that I didn't think about. I'm just trying to use my imagination to the most. Because that's really what we're doing too, Mike. We're using our imaginations. And if we forget that, we just click it on, start doing a process that we already do, right? But the fun times when we was like just getting involved as young actors, you know, the young lions trying to take the pride, that energy of feeling like, well, I got this. Like,
right.
I feel like that newness. You want to feel that
right.
on the set sometime. And to me, I feel it when I'm just looking for more in the role, like more in the scene we about to shoot.
Yeah.
Because different than the overall script. I'm here today and I'm shooting the scene. I know what I'm going to work on.
Right.
I have an idea of what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
I'm on this. I've seen the set. That's another thing.
The experience you get that.
I go on the set alone, too. I go on the set when everybody, no one's there. I go on the set. I get into the set. I do a lot in the thing, you know.
Right.
But it's just normal for me now because it's been 20 years.
Do you know at this point, because when I was younger, I would so defer to, like, the director. I'm like, is it good? Is it good? Okay, let's move on. Like, but it, for me personally, now I know that's good. Like, I've even caught myself saying it, and I don't want to say it in an arrogant way, but, like, if you're doing a take, I'll be like, that was good. That was good. You know, like, I'll say it out loud because, like, I'm like, also, like, that was good. Let's move forward. Unless we're going to do, because, you know, like, one of the things with some directors will be like, they'll have you do it again and again, and I'm like, I'm just going to do the same shit. Like,
right.
we don't need to keep doing
50
it
times. Yeah,
if
I don't
it's
understand.
The same
I hate
shit.
That, though. I got to tell you,
if you got
I hate
some
that.
New ideas or it wasn't good or it wasn't what you want, I'm game. But if you want me to do the same fucking thing 9 times,
I'm done.
I found myself like, I'm like, come on. Like,
no, I have done that before. I have said, okay, I'm not going to do this again.
Unless it's something different, and then cool. But if you just want the same
That's exactly what I did. I did exactly that. I was like, did you get everything? Because if you want something else, you know, nah, just give me one more. You know,
of
just
what?
Was there a problem with the thing?
Right,
the
why are we, of
nah,
what?
No problem with the shoe. I said, well, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, I don't need to do it
I'm
again.
I'm not doing it again. Yeah.
I like the peanut butter jelly sandwich. You liked it. Now, we're either going to go on to, like, some chocolate bars.
Something else,
or
please.
Soda, or something, but I'm not going to have another fucking peanut butter and jelly
I'm
sandwich.
I'm not doing another peanut butter and jelly
I'm
sandwich.
I'm cool.
And Clint Eastwood does 8-hour days consistently
right.
as a director. So it could be done. He's got Oscar-winning films. He does 8-hour...
Woody
hour,
Allen, same shit. Spike,
yeah,
too.
8-hour days.
And so, and I'm sure they probably have grown into that. Like I said, you know, like, and then you hear some directors, like Kubrick was on some, like, just keep doing it. And obviously you're working with a master and a genius. Mm-hmm. And then you're sort of going to sort of let yourself be free because you're like... you know, when by the time you like our age when we could have worked with Kubrick before he passed, you're like,
right.
whatever you want. It's like there's certain, like Scorsese,
oh, right.
These guys, you're a part of their painting and you're going to be.
Have you met Scorsese before?
You know what? I met him once. I met Martin Scorsese once at like some Oscar thing and he came up to me and said nice things and I literally was like, I was like, he fucked me up. And I was bugging because Martin Scorsese, you know, you think he's short,
yeah.
but he's really short. So I was like, oh, shit. And he, you know, he complimented me. I was going to go over to compliment him. And he's just, you know, and he's talking, and he's short. He's shorter than you. So that was my only, you know.
It can be startling sometimes, some of these cats.
Yeah, because like, Martin Scorsese, like, you love this fucking guy.
Yeah,
and he's,
yeah,
like, 5'5".
Ay, ay, ay.
But he's, like, I was, like, literally, like... You know, I'll talk to anybody. He stumped me like it was like when I. You know who stumped me also?
Ooh.
Totally different thing,
ooh.
But same kind of thing, and totally different reason why she stumped me. Rihanna, I was
aye,
like,
aye.
She said to me, "I know who you are." I was like, "Get," I didn't. Nothing came out.
She's tall too, right?
Is
she?
Oh yes. Yeah,
is she pretty?
She's everything. She's everything.
Is she pretty? She look like she look on the.
She
TV?
Looked like exactly like she looked like it, and the air felt fresher when she walked past me.
Yeah, it felt fresher.
Like the air felt fresher. Like the air, like it was just like, you know, when you spray, like not like Lysol, but like a nice air freshener comes in, or like a perfume comes in a room. Like she filled the whole arena up. I saw her at a basketball game, and she said, "I know who you are," and I was like, Nothing came out of my mouth.
She better not talk to me, kid.
You'll be ready.
Full court press on that.
I hear you. But the fact that she said something to me first fucked me up.
One on one, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you, my
first
man.
First 32.
No doubt. Wood Harris.
She get the ball first.
Wood and Rihanna, that'd be a good couple. She'd be better off fucking with a guy like you.
She should be my co-star sometime. Matter of fact, that might happen. A lot of shit I say happens. Yeah, because she's on some show now, too. She's on some show.
Is she on a show or a movie?
I don't know, man. One of those.
Have you ever met Scorsese?
Never met Scorsese.
Never came. Because your Wood's a little taller than me. You're going to be ready because my man is. He
I
makes
feel
Spike
weird
Lee
like that,
look
though.
Like Kareem.
I don't like that, though.
What do you mean?
Like people really do have, like, some kind of. They feel some kind of way when they come across us, like, because we're tall. Like, I don't know how Scorsese was, but Spike.
No, he didn't give a fuck. Yeah, Scorsese Spike. Came right up to you. I mean, Scorsese came right up to you. I'm just saying, for you, just be like, because you know when you see somebody like that surprised you, like,
you're surprisingly small, and you react like, to it. Yeah.
It just bugged me out. I was like, oh, shit. My man is shorter than I heard.
I met Prince.
How what was
Prince
that like?
Prince was super cool.
Where'd you
and
meet
actually,
him?
He came up to me as a fan, like.
On some, are you
Prince,
serious?
Because, you know, I did the Jimi Hendrix thing.
Right.
Let me tell you this, what Prince did real quick.
Yeah, give me some shit, Wood.
I met Prince.
Don't be humble.
Remember Guy?
Yes.
His shop,
club.
His club that's right next to Jerry's 100 years ago.
This dude, Guy, not Guy O'Siri, Guy. Like his
Guy,
family
no,
owned
Guy,
Jerry's Deli,
last name, yeah.
Which is a popular deli in L.A. Then he had a spot called Guy's.
Yeah. So one night, I was there because Prince's DJ, Rashida, was dating a friend of mine. He was like, yo, come up, you know, Rashida's birthday party. So I go there. You remember Guy's spot was small.
Yes.
I mean, maybe 100 people. Not even. I mean, like 85 people could fit in. It was small. And but dark. So Prince comes up to me and he's like, tap me on my back. I turn around.
He tapped you?
Yeah. Tap me on the back. When I turn around, it's Prince. You know what I'm saying?
And he was glowing?
Hell yeah. It was Prince. It was 100% Prince. And he goes, in a deep Prince voice. Because, you know, them cats be fucking with their voice. The voice be over here. The voice be falsetto sometimes. In the deep Prince voice, he goes, recognize my suit? So I did. I recognized his suit, right? So I was about to say, I said, yeah. And I was about to say what I thought it was. And he said, hold that thought. And he dipped.
Huh.
He dipped, right? So I was with one of my boys, and I was like, yo, my man, yo, that's Prince. He was like, yo, dude, you fucking around. He said, yeah, man, that's Prince. We going back and forth. I was like, yo. He comes back. And in the Prince way, he goes, well. Seems like Purple Rain, you know what I'm saying? He said, well. And I said, that's Jimi Hendrix suit. He had a double breasted pinstripe Jimi Hendrix suit on from that Jimi Hendrix wore in a court trial that he had. And so it's real obscure shit to know, but I totally recognize it because I played Jimi Hendrix and
Damn.
We did the scene and the suit was real specific. So
what was it? Jimi
Prince had
suit.
On the suit.
He had on that suit?
He had that suit on. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Was Hendrix small like that?
Hendrix was much smaller than people think. He looked tall. Oh, no. Prince had on a replica of it.
Okay, okay.
He had the exact replica
I got
of it.
You.
Because I asked him the same thing. I thought that he had on, because he probably could afford to buy Jimmy's suit. But anyway, he had that on. And I knew the answer. And then, you know, and then I got invited to his crib, went to his crib one
time. In L.A.?
Time here, yeah.
And what the fuck was that like?
Crib was crazy, man. I mean, it was huge. It was just like huge, huge, huge. I think it was off Mulholland, if I'm not mistaken. But like his crib was just gigantic. And it was more like a villa, like a group of houses. And they were huge.
Did you see him perform like one of those concerts? Like,
yeah, he was in the, we were in the living room. It was just Prince. He was just being himself. And it was not a lot of people there. But he had like an open band thing where anybody could come and play in.
And they're just up there rocking.
And they were just up there rocking. But it was Sheila E. I think Larry Graham was there. Prince was in and out of it. Yeah, I saw Prince and D'Angelo perform together in a small venue one time. But yeah, you know, that was an interesting thing, though, meeting Prince.
Give me one more other person, like a celebrity that you admired that you met over the years. Because, you know, like people think, like you get detached, like and like you get sort of like
you lose your fanfare.
I made a promise when I came out to LA. I was never going to be unimpressed with people.
Yeah.
You have to stay excited,
fresh, right?
You have to stay like, oh shit! It's, I mean, obviously anybody's gonna. It would take years to get over fucking hanging out with Prince. Like, you're always gonna be like, that's fucking Prince. Like,
yeah,
who was another one that you met over the years that you were like, oh shit?
Well, man, I've been, man. it's weird now that I think of it. I met quite a few that I would say, like, wow, that was an incident that was similar to Prince's, too. Like, I met Paul Newman.
Oh, you know, shit.
Before Paul Newman died. And I was a fan of Paul Newman's, you know what I'm saying? Cool Hand Luke and all that type of shit. Those are, like, cats I really liked. So,
right.
So I ended up doing a play off Broadway that Joanne Woodard directed years and years and years ago.
His wife.
Yeah, his wife. And we rehearsed at his crib. You know what I'm saying? And so me, Marissa Tomei, and at that time, it was a long time ago. Like, there was, you know, we weren't, nobody was famous. I was actually, like, getting out of school. I was in school, maybe still. It was the summer or something like that. And I meet Paul Newman. He and Sidney Poitier, they get on the elevator with me, right? Because Paul Newman lived on, like, 95th Street off of, like, 5th Street.
Right.
And the top floor is his, and the building is crazy.
Fly Paul Newman
super
shit.
Super fly shit. Paul Newman shit. Like, Newman's own. Right. Real, real talk. So I get on there. So it's, you hear these two dudes before you see them. They're laughing. And you hear these robust laughs come around the corner. And it's Sidney Poitier, Paul Newman.
Were you like, what
two
the
of my
fuck?
Favorite. Fuck yeah. I was just like, oh shit. I literally was like, oh shit. Took a deep breath and just was like trying to relax and just be cool and sort of disappear. You know, and they got on it because they was having a conversation. I wasn't going to say nothing to them. So, boom, rode to his floor with them, got off. And when we got off, you know, we just went inside and he and Sidney Poitier disappeared because the apartment was huge, much bigger than anything you can imagine right now. Like, you can get lost in his apartment. And we go off and rehearse. Anyway, long story short, we do the play. It was Waiting for Godot. Waiting for Lefty.
Okay.
This old play that nobody does anymore. And we did it in the round, too, some real super New York shit, some super artistic New York shit, with Marissa Tomei and these other people. And so he came, he saw the play opening night. When Paul Newman walks up to me, I see him snaking through this crowd of people after the play, and people are sort of meandering and talking and drinking wine now and all that type of shit. And he sort of like, I see him snaking over to me. I'm standing there with Marissa Tomei, and he comes over to me and he's like, yeah. He said, listen, you? He said, you kick ass, kid.
He said that?
Yeah, Paul Newman said to me, you kick ass,
with
kid.
With the blue eyes and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, with the blue eyes and all that. And Marissa Tomei, like, slapped him on his shoulder for some reason. You know, he was a big flirt. He was cool with the chicks like that. Like,
hell yeah, he's Paul
said
Newman.
Something to her that was perfect. I should have wrote it down. But I did write down what he told me.
That's dope.
It's like the only thing I ever made a diary of.
That's dope.
I got a one sentence diary and I just told the whole world.
That's it. That's all you need. Paul Newman said.
He said, I kicked ass, kid.
That's it. You don't need to fill the rest.
Big fan of Paul Newman. And then to meet Denzel later and work with him. All those guys, I was a big fan. Like, huge, 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 huge star studded fan. Like, anybody would be right. Whoever was a fan of somebody. Like,
do you find that, because since you've played so many criminal cocksuckers, from Paid in Full to Above the Rim,
that's a lot of bad guys, yeah.
To Avon Barksdale, and I'm sure there's like a whole list of shit. Like, you know, if I went through, like, you know, I'm sure there's probably
even
10.
What we did in Justified. We're
yeah,
playing
yes,
the bad guys.
Yes,
yo,
yes.
We worked in Justified.
But you have an
that.
Ice cold way, like that you that you could do as a bad guy. Mm-hmm. But you weren't a bad guy in Paid in Full. But you know, the character was a drug dealer. But you were the best of the bunch. But you played a lot of street shit. Do you find that people, when they approach you, like street dudes, like they're like trying to like. Are you on some real shit? Like, are they trying to size you up? Or are they, like, or most motherfuckers, they get it? Because you've played some motherfuckers. Like, especially, like, back in Above the Rim before you're real famous. Like, people, like, I was like, who the fuck is this fucking guy? Like, you're like, who is this fucking guy? I got the razor in his mouth. Like, I was like, who is this fucking guy here?
My experience with cats in the real world who have seen like me play the bad guy who might be like those characters. They do acknowledge that with me, that I have the experience of some pretty big time cats showing me love the way they show love, you know. I always look at it like, oh, that's how the Italians treat Robert De Niro, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I always look. Do you ever met Robert De Niro?
Of course.
I never met Robert
you
De Niro.
You never met him?
But I got a note from Robert De Niro as a that's somebody I got a note from who complimented me one time. But
are
I
you
never
fucking
met him.
Serious?
I never met Robert De Niro, bro.
Yo, what was the note?
You want to introduce me to Robert De Niro?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, introduce
yo,
me
Robert
to Robert De Niro.
I mean, it's not like we're best friends, but
dude, Robert De Niro's my might be, I mean, what's your all top five? Robert De Niro's in my top five. Nowadays, this young generation, all they see is the grandfather Robert De Niro. They don't.
They're crazy.
They don't even know Robert De Niro. They don't even watch Raging Bull.
What's your top five actors? You do one, I'll do one.
Top five.
And then you need to tell me how you got the note from Robert De Niro.
But the note from Robert De Niro came from my agent. Yeah.
Off of what project?
It was off of Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
And it was just a
little
compliment.
Yeah. Overlooked performance in Jimi Hendrix movie. Yeah.
Made of all things, Jimi Hendrix.
I was fucking floored by that shit. Like, you had, like, you don't look, like, you can say, well, he don't look exactly. You had his essence down. You had the fucking essence of Jimi Hendrix down. And I advise you, I'm sure you can watch it on Netflix.
You can get that if you want.
What's the name of the film?
Hendrix is just called Hendrix.
Yo, watch Wood Harris in Hendrix, because it just kind of came and went, and it should have gotten more sort of life than it should, because your performance, I remember I hit you, or we were playing in the NBA Entertainment Basketball League, and I was just like, you know how much I was impressed by that? I remember where I was when I saw it.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember, like, I was in my old crib. I had this big, the flat screen TVs that you had to move around. They weren't on the wall like them shit.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, yo, this motherfucker's actually like Jimi Hendrix. Like, it wasn't like you were doing an impression. Like, you captured his essence.
Yeah, I think that's what you really want to do, is, like, you want to try to find, if you're playing a real person, then your research is simpler, really. It's almost easier to be a real person in acting, if you're capable of doing it, than to have to use your imagination and constantly create fictitious characters.
Right.
Make them from scratch. No, something was already made.
Right.
These are the ingredients. Can you find these ingredients within yourself, type thing?
Right.
So Jimi Hendrix, Avon Barksdale, most of the characters people see, those are real people.
Right.
So it's a blessing for me and myself, I believe, as an artist, that, you know, you kind of enact. I think actors get what's thrown to them, in a sense.
Right.
So you end up shaped up the way your career makes you the actor who you know.
I got you.
And I don't know. I think that I've been very fortunate in that sense.
The I Am Rapport Stereo podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress, an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. You could try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you do not love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. With over 20,000 reviews online and an average of 4.8 stars, Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. They have sheets, they have pillows, they even have doggy beds. Go to Casper.com. Save $50 towards any mattress purchased by visiting www.casper.com/Rappaport. Use the promo code Rappaport. Try a Casper mattress 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Go to www.casper.com/Rappaport.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2017.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
What are the plans for Microsoft? We're going to see more new titles from Sony PlayStation. And how about Nintendo? Interviews, roundtable discussion, previews, hand-on impressions, and more.
E3 2017 coverage on Gamertag Radio.
June 11th through the 15th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
Who are your top five?
Top five.
You do one, and we'll do top five. We can't duplicate. Okay. That your actors that mean the most. You do one, I'll do one. We'll do five each.
All right. I would say, I'm going to have to say, you know, well, I got to put Denzel. This is not like me saying this is my favorite actor's list. I mean, it is that.
In
no order. Okay,
this is top five available, so it's the top 10 between me and Wood Harris. Go ahead. All right. Denzel?
I'm going to say Denzel.
I'm going to take De Niro.
Oh, shit.
All right, it's like we're doing
we're
draft
two
pick.
Squats.
Like we're like doing all-star teams. So you're Denzel, I got De Niro.
Oh, man. Well, you're going to make me go Anthony Hopkins.
All right, fuck.
Exactly.
Okay.
You better get who I think you should get right now. Because if you don't get her.
Oh. I'm gonna let you get her because I wasn't gonna pick her, but you got Anthony Hopkins, so I thought immediately.
You better get it because I got Anthony Hopkins. Your squad is over. If
no,
you don't
I got
get
oh, really because I got De Niro and now I got Marlon Brando. Okay, I don't know what the fuck that. Okay, Marlon Brando's playing center. This top.
I love Marlon Brando.
Okay, I'm putting.
But I'm going. I'm sticking with my Meryl Streep.
Fine.
Denzel.
The
Anthony
overrated
Hopkins
Meryl and, Streep. She's oh so overrated.
Oh my god. Yeah, right. Like she's Trump overrated. Said, right? If you make
she's
quote
been nominated
Trump,
20 times.
If you make Trump. Quote.
She's overrated. Your team's fucked.
Are you crazy? My squad is crazy right now.
Yo,
think about
all right.
It.
So you got Meryl. So you got Denzel.
I'm Denzel.
Anthony
Meryl,
Hopkins.
Anthony. You're Marlon. Who you got? You.
Got I got
Marlon
Bob. I got my
Bob.
Third pick coming up right now. I'm gonna go with Dustin Hoffman. He's my. He's
I
my.
Dustin
I fucking love
Dustin.
Him. I need a woman. Now. I gotta. I'm gonna come
yeah,
back to
see,
a woman.
That's what I'm saying. Okay? I took care of that already.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. You got the woman.
I got the woman. Nah. There's some cool ones out there. Excuse me. I'm gonna have to go. Jeez,
I really you got a good team though.
Huh?
You have a
I got
good
a
squad.
Squad, dog. You see my squad?
Yeah, I let you. When you said her, I knew you were gonna
you
go with Meryl.
Took her.
But she's so overrated. She's so over fucking rated.
Why do you say that?
What has she been in? I'm just kidding. You
I know that's the Trump.
What has she been in?
Trump talk.
That's the Trump in you. You remember what was that? Who's that rapper that made
Trump
the song?
In
the,
you.
That was the bitch in you. Common, that's the bitch in you. That should be a.
Oh, yeah,
the,
that
that's the Trump
crazy.
In you.
That's the Trump in you. Ugh.
Common, that's you. You got. He got to do that. That's the Trump in you.
I don't know. Let me see him. That's my three, and then I'm gonna go four. I'm gonna have to go. You know who used to be on the list? And I probably have to just put him back on that list
who?
And just not disrespect him by saying he used to be on there. I'm gonna go with Lawrence Fishburne, man.
Great.
I love
Did you
Lawrence
see
Fishburne.
Him? His BET Mandela.
I didn't see it. I need to see that.
Yo, it live. He.
Yeah, I'm a Lawrence Fishburne fan. I got the chance to work with him last year too. I had a robust last year.
What'd you work with him on?
This thing called Bronzeville.
Oh, okay.
That was fun.
I fuck with Fishburne
yeah,
hard
I fuck with Fishburne
body.
Hardcore man.
I'm a fuck. All right, because now you have not only do you have
Look
a multicultural list,
gender-wise too.
Fuck,
what are you fucking doing
I got a
over
bunch
here?
Of Italians.
This guy from New York not picking nothing.
I got fucking Italians and Jews.
Italians.
I got
this
a couple of Italians and I don't think
and
Brandon's
one Jew.
Italian.
He only got one Jew.
All right,
in
I'm gonna
squad.
Go with Samuel Jackson.
That's
I'm gonna
a good
go with
one.
Sam.
That's a good one. That's about third on that one.
Okay. So now I gotta find a woman. Shit.
You need a chick. Oh, you don't need a chick though, because Meryl Streep, she's like the she's
we're
the
gonna
Jordan
take a lot of shit. They're gonna
like,
be like,
I got Mike
pick
now.
Meryl Streep,
but I got Mike though. That's Mike on the squad, really. If you think about it, I know she's overrated, but
she's totally overrated.
Totally overrated. You know
she's
what I'm saying?
A joke.
Like the way she did Silkwood and the way
I
she
mean,
did that fucking
Silkwood. Yeah,
yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that performance
and Kramer
was,
versus Kramer.
Like, if I see her, I'm be like, you know, you're fucking overrated.
Yeah, you're just overrated.
I'm letting her know that.
I mean, I would be impressed to see you, but the only thing that I wanted to tell you is you're overrated.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna say. I never met Meryl Streep, but I was like, you know, come on.
Like when I cried about that, when I actually cried during when you made me cry, fuck that, you overrated.
Yeah, Sophie's Choice. You know what? I thought it was just like yeah. The reason why I was crying
was
is how
terrible.
Overrated you are.
And she and it was so long ago, like, and she was like that bad that long ago. Like.
And how bad can you like for how long could you be
improving.
That bad? Like the consistency of being bad for year after year.
And what makes
year.
Her bad is that she does every role the same way.
Every role is the same way. The accent's the same.
I almost got a fucking laugh to say. Like I'm laughing. I'm literally laughing to
like
say that.
Like you, like as far as the versatility, it's like do something different, Meryl Streep.
It's almost like saying Mike was overrated.
Yeah, like oh yeah, Michael Jordan, like the
Mike's
six
overrated,
rings.
Man. All
yeah,
those
but
rings.
What about Steve Kerr? He
yeah,
had a lot
Kerr?
To do
you
with it.
You know what I'm saying?
What about Bill Cartwright? You remember he was on that team? All right, so who's your fifth?
Number five, I said Fishburne. I said Denzel. I said young Meryl Streep. I said Anthony Hopkins. That's crazy. So. You know what I'm going to go?
I got one for you.
No, I'm going to go, you know, this guy is one of my favorites, and he's been falling off a little bit, but
who?
I'm
going
to go Johnny Depp on you, man.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Another guy who morphs all. Nah, can I take that back?
Go ahead. You could put Johnny as your sixth man.
All right, that's
all right.
Johnny off the bench.
Johnny's your sixth man.
My favorite actor is fucking Sean Penn. Game of Rock.
Fuck, I was going to take him.
Game of Rock.
I was gonna take
him. Rock.
You ever work? You never worked with him, huh?
I never met Sean Penn. That's my favorite actor.
He's a cool dude.
No El Chapo, you heard?
No El Chapo. Sean Penn, no El Chapo.
No,
all right,
Sean
my
Penn,
my
no
fifth.
El Chapo. What's all that about?
Yo, he's,
seriously, man.
He's a wild cowboy. He's a wild cowboy.
Yo, Sean Penn went to Haiti when the shit right after
yeah.
the storm.
I respect Sean Penn.
Like I fuck with him. Sean Penn slapped the shit out of Madonna. Yo, come here. I fuck you up. Sean Penn, back in the day, Sean Penn said, Yo, Shumpus and your Madonna, fuck out of here with that.
Yeah, say, come here.
Whole list. Back then when you could do that type of shit, he was doing that.
Yeah, get away with it.
Shit.
Now you can videotape, put up in real time.
It's a rap.
All right, I'm going to go with John Turturro because I fuck with him, and he's totally underrated, underappreciated.
You know we beating y'all by 40, though, right?
No, are you crazy?
Are you
crazy? I got Robert De Niro.
Pick a director for your squad.
You know who's my sixth man?
Pick a director for your squad.
No,
who's your sixth man?
Al Pacino. He's coming off my fucking bench. And I was going
to
pick Jack Nicholson, but he's a little overweight right now.
Pick who?
I was going to pick Jack Nicholson, but I picked Al over Jack.
Oh, my squad is just... I don't know what the fans are going to
think
about this.
I'm going to let the fans... Who wins this game with these squads? You heard the squads. Cash your vote.
The noble gang wins again.
All right, this is where things I think are going to go off the rails. They banned Charles Oakley from the Garden. You're not a New Yorker, but you're sort of a New Yorker at heart.
I'm an honorary New Yorker.
And you were there during the 90s. Brooklyn. You're a basketball dude. And Oakley was a Chicago dude.
Yeah, he was Chicago and the Knicks.
What is your take on this whole thing with Oakley and the way this whole thing... And now they got a temporary ban. This has been a bad year for bans. First they're banning Muslims. Not they're doing airport Oakley. Bans. And now Oakley. What the fuck is going on, Wood?
Both of them should go to court. But I think that you know, it's actually very sad. It just makes me feel sad, actually. You know, it made me feel really bad to see that we're such a divided place nowadays. And some of it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't really make sense. I don't even care if he says something to Dolan. Like, so what?
Right.
Like, let's say he said, yo, fuck you, Dolan. You fucking the squad up. Well, you are, dude. You only won 7 playoff games in 16 years or some shit. 12 years.
I think it's 17.
7 games, too, right?
17, 7
playoff games in 17 years.
Is it 7? Whatever it is,
it's
we don't
7 playoff games in over a decade. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. That's...
7. You know it takes 4 to get out the... out.
We won one. We
you
won.
Need to win 4 and out it. So I don't want to hear it because I do respect the game of basketball. I respect the New York history as it relates to the game of basketball. I'm from Chicago originally. I love the rivalry we had with the Knicks. Rivalry. But now the Bulls and the Knicks, they suck. They both suck. A lot of it has to do with...
I don't feel bad for you. You got rings. Your rings are still shining.
Because we had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen.
No shit.
Y'all never had 2 players like that.
No.
Nobody has. I mean, now you can almost say those players exist. But, yeah, but we had that. And we had the young Phil Jackson. And we had all these... come on, man. But Krause?
Yo, right.
Fuck the Krauses, dog.
Right.
They some dick
You guys
rods.
Feel that way about... Krause,
yeah,
like
we
Chicago.
Already can't stand him, dog. Nobody likes him. He's not likable.
What's your opinion on Pippen? Do you think Pippen, like, as a true blue Chicago fan, do you think Pippen, it's so hard to say because it's like such a big what if. These kinds of, like, theoretically, like, would Obama have beaten George Washington in the game of Monopoly? Like, who would have won a 50-yard dash between, you know, Nancy Reagan and Michelle Obama? Like, these philosophical things. But do you think Pippen... Obviously, his greatness had to have been accentuated, and he talk about like you know a
no,
room
man.
To
Scottie Pippen.
Do you think he's got a great player? Do you think he's top
he's
50 player?
This is hilarious to me. It's so difficult for Scottie Pippen to get
totally
respect.
It's totally difficult.
Because he's underneath the shadow of Michael Jordan. But
yes.
Just think of this. Consider this.
Yes.
Who was a better player in the league than Scottie Pippen, other than Michael Jordan?
Oh fuck, man. Charles Barkley.
Man, eat a fucking box of garbage.
Charles Barkley
was nowhere near as good as Scottie Pippen. He could not shoot as good as him. He's not an all-around player. You're right over there?
Yeah, I'm joking. Go ahead.
Help, nurse.
Go ahead. So you think Scottie Pippen was better
at the time that Pippen was
in
playing,
their prime.
At the time they all were in the league in their prime. There was not a better basketball player in the league but Michael Jordan.
Of course.
To show you how great he was. So, but for Michael Jordan, you watch the games. I mean, I saw all the local games. There was not a more exciting player to watch. He used his left hand like no other basketball player.
You talking about Scottie or Jordan?
Scottie.
Yeah.
Scottie is taller and longer than...
Defensively, too.
He's the greatest defender, one of the greatest defenders the league ever had.
Yes.
The only person who probably could stick Jordan was Pippen.
Right.
There was not a better basketball player.
But don't
he blocked shots like Mike. He scored 40 with Mike sometimes in the game.
Right.
He passed the rock already. Like, he was like a Lamar Odom.
Do you don't think he was overrated?
In fact, that's what they say Lamar Odom is like.
Right.
No, he's not overrated. He created a breed of players.
So you don't think being around Michael Jordan
gave
him...
He's more like a Magic Johnson.
You don't think it gave him... the sort of...
Dog, he can handle the rock already like KD.
Okay.
Stop pretending like you ain't see what... Listen, man. Scottie Pippen,
I knew
Irish,
it was going to get hyped.
That Irish basketball player named Scottie Pippen was incredible. The only player in the league at the time that he was playing that I could say was really greater than him. Greater than him was Michael Jordan. All the other players were no more than equal. Barkley was at best equal.
You don't think that Scottie being with Michael, obviously Scottie being with Michael.
No, it's hard to do that.
I know.
Ask Kobe.
I know.
It's not easy to play with a dominant player who demands the ball a lot.
I totally get it. I'm just asking the question.
He did that role better than Kobe, though.
Absolutely.
He went and got 6 chips with Mike. And then when Mike left, he took him all the way.
But he fucked up. You know what I'm talking about.
The one moment.
The Tony Kukoc. He played himself.
Because Phil Jackson was the Zen. He wasn't the Zen master back then.
Yo, he had this. He had 3 rings
already. He should not have been trying. Listen, who's going to defer that last shot to somebody? At that time, when Jordan retired, the best player in the league was Scottie Pippen. The Bulls went back. How come they went back? Anyway, they went back. Who was better? Ewing?
Barkley?
Barkley, huh? Fucking, you keep talking
who
about
was
Barkley.
I'm just because right Barkley, now, like, because right
you,
now.
Can you imagine him even passing the ball? Barkley was a dominant rebounder. That's it.
Was Kobe in the league? Shaq was
no,
in the league?
Shaq.
Yeah, this is 95.
I said a better player. Now, Shaq was a dominant player as a center.
I'm just getting the times messed up.
Kobe might have been in the league.
Who else was in the league? Karl Malone? He's pretty good.
He wasn't a better player. That shows you how great he was. At times, he was the best player in the league.
He was a motherfucker. He was a motherfucker.
If you put him into perspective like that, now I know people don't like the sit down on the bench shit, and I don't like that either.
Played himself.
But I get it, though.
He might have played himself.
He might have played himself.
Talk about the bitch.
But you know what? The coach should have. He was the star and the captain of the squad. He was the best player on the team. Kukoc was making more money than him.
Right. It was whack.
Time out. I want y'all to hear that.
Because I was, as much
Hold
as
on,
I, wait, let me just say this. As far as, because I was.
First of all, the fans out there, go look up and Google who the fuck Tony Kukoc is.
Right.
Because y'all don't even know who we're talking about.
But I'm going to say this. As much as I hated the Bulls, I didn't like the Tony Kukoc train. Like, I hated the Bulls, but I wasn't like, good Tony Kukoc, fuck Scottie Pippen. I thought it was fucked up.
Come on. He made more money than Mike.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And Pippen.
It was crazy. White privilege, man.
Sour Krauss is over there. That's
Serbian
what they are.
Serbian privilege. Was he Serbian?
Yeah,
where was he?
I don't know where he was from. Something like that. Serbian,
okay.
Yeah. And I ain't mad at him. You can't be mad at him. But, just think about that. So he came on that team. He wasn't a better player. He was a European player. He was a very good player. He wasn't a great player because he wasn't consistent.
No, he wasn't a great player.
Scottie Pippen was consistent. He always played at a high level. He used his left hand just like his right hand. He was 6'7" or 6'8". I saw him one time. I swear to God, he's 6'8".
Yeah, he's
his
tall.
Hand is like 14 inches long. He could dribble the ball like KD back then.
Yeah.
He used the glass like nobody else in the league.
And he could D up
anybody in the league, a center to a guard.
Have I ever told you that?
It ain't a better basketball player than him. Yeah, he belong in the top 50. Really, he's in the top 20.
I'm not sure if I share this with the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast fans, and I'm pretty sure I didn't share this with you, Wood. But I was once had relations with a girl, very beautiful girl, looked like Uma Thurman. She had sex with Michael Jordan.
The thing
and
about Uma Thurman is the hips to waist ratio is real nice.
Yeah.
And then she got...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no doubt, no
Whispering
doubt. He's saying things
here.
Off mic, but off I had relations with
you
a girl who
off
had
mic shit.
Yeah, that's off mic shit.
Off mic shit.
What did Wood?
And I ain't talking about Jordan. You heard off mic shit. But go ahead.
I had relations with a girl who had relations with both Scottie and Michael
on that Clinton shit. I'm having relations, huh?
And I always felt like when with this girl, I wanted to bring
Staining
my best
up skirts out here.
I wanted to bring my best work to the
cigars
table,
cigars and everything, huh?
Because she had been with the greatest of all time.
Mike?
And Scottie. Not together. Nah. Separate but equal. But as a young guy, this was when I was a young guy, I had always wanted to really sort of bring my fuck style to the occasion because you know she has been with Michael Jordan and do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I didn't know this till later. But when I found that out, I was like, I put that work in, and I wanted to, you know, that's how men think. So this is in my 20s. This is not me now. This is in my 20s. I don't want to.
No, listen, Mike, you looking all lean like you're getting ready for a role or something like that.
I'm not. I lost a little bit of weight. I'm trying to stay lean. I'm in my yoga.
Yeah, you look good.
Thank you,
Wood.
Your
skin and all that.
Thank you.
I was wondering if it's the black sweater.
The black is helping me.
You know what I'm saying?
You fuck. You fucking guys, like, black you look sweater. Good. I don't know. It's because you're in all black. You look like a vampire.
Dressed like NWA in this motherfucker.
Who's winning the championship? How are you feeling about your Golden State Warriors? Oh, are you God. Still? Are you still? What about your boy LeBron Blames? I say it again. Your boy LeBron Blames.
This is fucking weird.
Come on.
First of all,
he had a hissy fit a few weeks ago. I need a playmaker, mommy.
So what?
I need a playmaker.
But what's the big deal about that? Why is it that he can't express what he needs on the squad that he's the captain of?
Why is he telling some beat reporter in Cleveland? Why didn't he tell it right to the owner?
I mean, that's a little ditty of a sentence if you think about it. Like, imagine me saying, you know, we could use a playmaker. So what? But it's LeBron. Now it's like the Goodyear blimp and shit over the field. Like, oh, he said he needed a playmaker. And the thing is, they said, why is he saying that? He can't do it himself? Nah, it's called a fucking team. And that guy's the consummate team player.
Yes.
You must admit, he does not have to pass the ball. He could be a bully. He built like Superman, literally.
Yeah.
And he got the strength. He could be a dick. The guy is not a dick. He take the high road too much. Man, I fuck with LeBron. LeBron James and little Bron. Man, Google Bron. Go to YouTube, look up Bron.
Who the fuck is little Bron?
His
son. Oh, his son. His son looks like
starts he's got... out the game every game hitting two half-court shots.
Yeah, he's on
rocking a number zero because he played more aggressive than his dad. He played like Russ, but he played like his dad.
But do you think he's trying to do the half-court shots before the game because his favorite player is Steph Curry?
No.
Do you think that could be a conflict of interest?
No, his favorite player is Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
You know what, man? I'm going to go on and say this.
Come on. Kick it.
I'm going to say this.
You see, I'm trying to poke wood.
They need a piece because Kevin Durant did what he did.
Yes.
Which to me, you know, I ain't going to be mad at Kevin Durant. I'm no longer mad at Kevin Durant or the Golden State Warriors.
It's hard to hate him.
I don't hate him. I don't hate nobody. I'm not a fan. You know what I'm saying? I was a fan before. I ain't a fan.
You're not a fan of the move that he made.
I'm not a fan of the move he made. I love his basketball game. The guy can really play basketball. And I'm not a KD fan. You know, I ain't going to buy no KDs. You know what I'm saying?
Right. His kicks are actually all right,
you
know, though.
I watch his games, though, so I support him. Yeah, but I got two pairs of LeBrons. The LeBrons are way better
but
looking.
But you might as well wear Timberland boots.
Dude, so
you
what?
Might as well wear
like
Timberland
Tim's.
Boots. Because them shits, Tim's. Yeah, I know, but instead of wearing your Tim's, you might as well wear your LeBrons because them shits are clunky. Like, if you're going in
they
the military.
A stiff and shit.
Yeah, if you're going in like military
them,
or like
but
a
they look
fly,
fresh, dude. They look super fresh.
When do you rock those? When you play ball? Are you even playing?
I rock those shits with what I get on now. If I had them on, I just
some
don't
LeBrons?
Have them on.
You don't feel like your feet are heavy? Like, them shits like cement shoes.
They're a little
shoes.
Heavy. They're a little heavy.
Like, you know how like, we used to wear like the ankle weights
like
to stay in
six
shape?
Them shits. Them shits got like this much fucking heel. Like,
right, like
I'm
you're
showing
you're,
them like 2 inches of
and
sole.
Like, and how long does it take you to get in? They got straps and buttons.
I hate that. That's the only thing. The getting in part and getting out, it's like, damn, I need a fucking nurse.
He fucked up with his sneaker game. His sneaker game is atrocious. And it
you're
never,
so wrong about that. The LeBrons are fresh as hell.
You're wild.
Everybody loves the new
Let's
LeBron.
Ask the people. I
but they
ask
are
the,
they are like technically
clunky.
They, like, clunky looking, you mean?
Just clunky to get into. Like
yes, they are. Clunky to get in and out of,
As a
sure.
punishment for myself last year when he beat the
you
Golden State Warriors, I wore them. It was a self-imposed punishment. And for the day, I was like, what the f-? I felt like I was actually like there was like surveillance on me.
Walking like Frankenstein.
Yeah, they're big, clunky shits. And I feel like maybe he's just selling them. He can't play in these fucking things.
Nah, nobody... he's so strong. He play in them shits.
Yeah, but what about like... mere mortals like you and me? Like, make some sneakers that are wearable.
I'm not a mere mortal, man.
Wood, listen.
Who told you I was a mere mortal?
When it comes to playing ball, Wood, I mean, can you dunk anymore?
Yeah.
You could throw it one hand like you could do your Dr.
Definitely.
J shit? Because
yeah.
Wood got big-ass hands, and Wood was on that Dr. J shit. And, you know, I thought about doing this. Yeah, I think you could still pull it off because you still look young enough. Like, I have this idea in my head for a short film about a young kid who has a dysfunctional family relationship who has an imaginary friendship with Dr. J. And I've always imagined,
dope.
And you playing Doc.
Dope. That'd be dope. That's a cool ass idea you got there.
Yeah, I've always thought about it because Doc, like I'm sure you, he was my Superman. He was my Batman. He was my Spider-Man. It was no Tobey Maguire. It was Dr. fucking J. He was my, like, I have such affection for that dude. Like, talk about meeting somebody. I couldn't say shit when I met Doc. And I met him a few times, and I still haven't gotten past. Like,
Dr. J is unbelievable, man.
There's, like, something magical about him.
He is actually, like, yeah, the magical, most dreamy kind of basketball player and shit. Perfect.
Have you ever met Doc?
I never met Dr. J. Yeah,
you could play Doc.
Never met Dr. J. I would love to play Dr. J. But, yo, you know what? Also, Cleveland, the Cavs.
I can't believe this guy's a dick. Cleveland Cavaliers dick rider. No, my man East, Wood Harris.
I want my squad to come out the East, bro. I'm a Bulls fan. But I'm clear. I'm clearing my head. The Bulls ain't coming out. The Knicks ain't coming out.
No.
The Cavs are. So I'm just giving a map of the future. If I could change the future and make the Bulls go, but it's not going to happen. And Rondo and the shit they had going over with Wade and
disgusting.
It's actually disgusting.
Yo, he should go over to China with Steph Marbury.
When they let Thibodeau go, I felt like they didn't give a fuck about winning no more.
I agree. I thought that
guy's a Hall of Fame coach.
Totally agree.
So say what you want. He's going to be Popovich in like 4 years.
I totally fucking agree.
So
that Minnesota team is going to get clicking.
They're going to be hot. Jabari Parker got hurt. That sucks.
He
stayed
up.
Getting hurt. But but Cavs are coming out. They need a couple of pieces and they can compete. It's going to be a tough game because KD did what he did. But be honest with you, Steph nullified with Kyrie. KD is pretty much nullified with LeBron. Now you got Klay. That's a beast.
He's a motherfucker.
He's underrated. And so is
and your man Draymond.
He's underrated.
Draymond, put your weight on.
Put your weight on. And what's the name is playing good? The fucking Shaq and the Fool's Hall of Fame.
JaVale.
Yeah.
He's going to be the X factor. If they can keep his medication like leveled out and keep him functioning.
I don't want nobody to get injured, but I'm okay with cats getting hurt.
You fuck.
No, I'm serious, man.
You fuck.
Because they're so stacked. I don't want nobody. I said not injured, okay?
You mean just like a little tweak?
I want cats to be hurt.
Like
dog.
A tweak.
Yeah, hurt.
Miss a game here, miss a game there.
Yeah, as long as it's a game
Listen,
missed.
Your boy created the big three concept. Your boy, Ooh, LeBron.
That's not true.
I'm going to break it
ask
down.
Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen.
He went down. He went down there in
Sprinkle
his fucking prime. He went down there in his prime.
You're killing me with this.
Rondo, first of all, Rondo don't count. Okay, let me finish, and then I want to hear your point. KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, they were all, now they weren't past their prime, but they weren't 25, 24.
KG was.
He wasn't. He was 30-something. Okay? He was 30-something. None of them were the number one player in the league.
Something now. So how old was he when he played for the Suns? You hit his chin out of this
cat. Checking.
We're not fact-checking, huh?
We're not
use your imagination then. He 30-something now, okay, with skinny jeans on. So that guy, I don't know, man. He was definitely over 30.
He was definitely over 30. Guaranteed for sure.
Look at this guy.
Guaranteed for sure. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. We're not fact-checking. What do you think of Kevin Garnett? He's on TNT. I like when he's kicking it. Do you like his skinny jeans? Like, do you think he needs a stylist?
No, I don't think men should wear skinny jeans. To me, that look like their little sister pants.
And he's 7 feet with the skinny jeans.
Stop it already.
KG.
Listen, stop it already.
I'm not saying this is the 90s. You don't need
and
the
like,
baggy
what
shit.
What are they tucking like in this bitch? Like, how do you wear those? Like,
are they leggings?
I would look like a fucking Baryshnikov in the motherfucker.
Are we going to yoga class? Like, if we're going to yoga class, you're good. In yoga class, you can wear your tights. Like,
why
if you go
you
to workout.
Have your ass and
I'm just saying.
When you work out, your balls cuffed by your denims?
When you work out, wear what you want. I get that, but when you're on TNT, KG, you're better than that.
I'm not saying you don't need the
what was that group? I want to make you jump.
Cats
jump.
Need to just reinvent this whole fashion thing and stop.
Fix it.
Yeah, because the skinny jean thing is stupid.
It doesn't have to be baggy, but like there should be like a middle
just
ground.
Wear regular size pants.
Yeah, why does it have to be like
snug? I don't get it. I don't fuck with skinny jeans. I don't know why women wear that shit. They wore it the whole time we've been alive.
And especially like grown fucking men. Like,
think
okay,
about
if you're
that.
Your
that's
20s.
Them literally wearing women's pants.
Fuck.
Because women have worn skinny jeans their whole life.
Right. Those are those Caitlyn Jenners.
Caitlyn Jenners. Cats wearing skinny jeans.
Okay. So I tried the
ones who sag the skinny jeans, the young ones. Y'all really need to stop. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, stop.
You sagging the
You know, my man
jeans.
Got his phone snatched from him by a motherfucker with sagging skinny jeans, and he caught him. And I was like, good. You dumb fuck you.
Your jeans tighter than your drawers.
Yeah, your fucking
drawers
jeans.
Baggy.
Your skinny jeans are falling off your ass and you're snatching phones. If you're gonna be a stick up kid, you need to dress like
Keep
a fucking stick up
yeah,
kid.
Please already.
Get a belt, motherfucker. You robbing people with no belt, you dumb fuck.
Now you gotta run like a duck. You
stupid ass.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2017.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
What are the plans for Microsoft? We're going to see more new titles from Sony PlayStation. And how about Nintendo? Interviews, roundtable discussion, previews, hand-on impressions, and more.
E3 2017 coverage on Gamertag Radio.
June 11th through the 15th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
All right, Wood, let me ask you a question. Wait, what are you listening to right now?
Musically?
Yeah, because we're talking hip-hop. What are you listening to right now?
All right.
What's been the last time you were like, damn, you were hyped with something, you turned on something new?
Nothing
hit your
new.
Heartstrings.
No, I ain't listening to nothing new right now, but I'm just listening to MF Doom.
Okay.
And I've just been listening to a lot of MF Doom, really.
What shit? What stuff is the new shit, the old shit?
The old shit, yeah. I've just been listening to old MF Doom a lot. I like his lyrics. And I've been listening to Chance the Rapper as far as the new cats.
Well, so what do you think of him?
Chance the Rapper?
Yeah.
That cat is super dope.
What's dope about him? Because I got to be honest, I can't form an opinion on him. I haven't given him enough time.
You had to give him time because I kind of felt that same way. Because the thing about Chance the Rapper that might set you back is that sometimes you need, as a lyricist, I like lyricists who got a voice texture a certain way. Like, and Chance the Rapper has more of a, his voice is not like a deep, kind of rich voice. It's kind of a boyish voice.
And right.
So if you're not into that, then you might. But if you listen to, he's a young man, but if you listen to him, that dude's lyrical ability is just quite amazing.
All really right,
is.
I'm a fuck
and
with
he
him.
Sings a lot too. And put him on your, like, play Chance the Rapper. And you'll see.
All right, I'm gonna fuck
play
with him.
I'll play him while we're here.
What other shit do you like? What other shit are you listening to besides hip hop? Like, what else gets you hyped?
I ain't listening to nothing but
get
hip-hop.
Your mind right for music.
I've only been listening to hip hop.
Okay.
Only that's all I've been listening to, really.
Let's play the same game we did with actors.
Okay.
You pick five MCs. I pick five MCs.
Oh, God.
I'll let you go first because like you're the guest.
No, you get to go first this time.
I'm gonna go with the God.
Ugh.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Rakim Allah. That's number one.
Y'all got a...
Sorry.
Well, then I'm going to grab Tupac.
Fuck. All right, fine. I'm going to grab Nasty Nas in your area. He's about to cause mass hysteria. He got an ill voice, too.
I'm going to trip you out right now about to pick. I'm going to take Eminem.
I'm not going to argue with it, and I don't want to get in a battle. Because
it's over.
And he's a mean motherfucker.
Right now, you got Rakim, though, and that's fresh.
Yeah, I got Rakim, and I got Nasty Nas in your area about to cause mass hysteria. I'm going to go with shit. You left him on the table. Still, I love his shit. KRS-One.
The thing is, when I was thinking about taking him, you heard the controversy going on with
what
KRS-One.
Now?
Africa Bambaataa.
With KRS has something to do with it?
No, KRS had nothing to do with it, but when he was interviewed, he kind of defended, you know, African Bambaataa.
Oh.
So it was just a weird little
I didn't hear it. But the African Bambaataa shit, I'm way up to speed on.
Yeah, well, anyway, KRS-One was a defender in a sense.
I got you.
So it put a little bit of a cloud over him a little
got
bit.
Got you. I got you. I didn't know
but
that.
I had him in mind straight away. When you said Rakim, obviously you think like KRS-One.
Still on my crew.
He and your crew. Okay,
I'm not going to dump him, throw him off like you did Sean Penn.
I got Sean Penn.
Wait, who did you dump off your crew? Oh, you like Johnny Depp.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say LL Cool J, but the old school LL Cool J.
Good pick.
LL was fresh back. Come on. Cats don't even know. They're looking at him on CSI. They don't even know. Rock the Bells.
Talk about you never thought that hip hop could make it this far. LL Cool J?
That's unbelievable.
With the sweatsuit, no shirt, and the red Kango, and now he's on CSS getting CSI.
That's crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah, great for him.
Good for fucking LL. I fuck with LL. Good choice, good pick. I'm going to say number four. God damn. This is tough. Tupac, Eminem. All right, well, he's on the table, so I'm sorry to do it. I'm going to take BDK, Big Daddy Kane.
Oh, you got Big Daddy Kane?
Yeah, I got him.
I like that. That's a good one to choose.
You might want to go with an obvious choice here to help you because your team is, I mean, you got some youth, but you might want to go with the big guns laying on the table because if not, I'm going to get them.
I know who you're talking about, but yeah. I'm trying to think.
Just, I know it's obvious, but you can't deny what the obvious.
Hold on. I want to just think a second.
Go ahead.
You know what? I'm going to just take Andre.
I was going to say him.
Okay.
I was going to say, I knew
good,
you.
Good, good.
He's a motherfucker.
Yeah, I got
all right, because I'm trying.
My squad is more modern than yours.
Your squad's good. I'm just going to, just because of guarantee
like
the win.
80s fucking.
Yeah, I got some older dudes. I'm just going to take Hov.
Like, this squad now could actually make songs now. Your team can't make songs now.
Sorry,
literally.
I got Hov. I got Hov and Nasty Nas. I got, so my team is.
Your squad lost again, dog.
Hov, Nasty Nas, and then my big three is Big Daddy fucking Kane,
that's
Rakim, and KRS-One.
Those three, that's hot.
All right, so that's my five.
That's a hot squad.
That's a hard to beat.
Y'all barely making it out the 80s, though. Listen, my squad.
Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, yo. My squad. Everybody on my squad still got songs except for Tupac. They're one of the only dead guys on the squad. Tupac and Eminem. Stop
Mr.
it already.
CSI
and
is,
I'm talking about Slim Shady too. I get to choose the era.
Okay, but
Slim Shady.
CSI is he's not making much songs now.
Who? LL?
Yeah. The ladies.
I told you which LL.
Oh,
I
you
said
just
Rock
want him
the
in
Bell,
the fucking.
LL.
You want him with the Kango.
Well, which Rakim you want? The one right
there's
now.
There's only one. No,
oh, no,
I want,
there's
I want
the one
Rakim.
Right now. Trust
I want Rakim with the Dapper
the
Dan
new...
shit.
Okay,
I want Rakim
then.
With the
okay.
Dapper Dan and the truck jewelry.
Okay then.
I want
LL
Skinny
with
KRS
the Dapper Dan shit. That's which LL I got.
All right. You got one more pick.
Oh, I got another pick.
You got one more.
Wait, who I got? I got LL.
Eminem.
Tupac.
Andre,
oh yeah, one more.
Pick your five.
I could go Biggie on you. I could go Kool G Rap on you.
Ooh,
there's
hurts.
So many of these cats I could go. I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to go Biggie.
All right, fine. This is a good top
Biggie.
Five.
Biggie. Bump, 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 bump. Oh yeah, that was perfect timing.
That was
Biggie.
That shit.
Biggie.
All right, it's Wood Harris again on the Iron Rapport Stereo
Trump
podcast.
And them, I said, eat up.
The people are going to be excited. And we'll be back soon.
Patriots, we didn't even get that.
You know the good thing about Charles Oakley? Another good thing about Charles Oakley? It totally annihilated.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
That's true.
That's the best thing about Charles Oakley.
That's a fact.
The Super Bowl celebration was 2 days.
Who gave two shits about it, right?
And then Charles Oakley, not only did he tear up the garden, he fucked your whole celebration up.
He fucked that whole celebration
up. So shout out to Charles Oakley.
Shout out, Charles.
Thank you so much. No one's talking about Julian Edelman.
Oh,
you shut that. You didn't even have
a
week to celebrate.
Yeah.
He shut that shit down on a Tuesday night. It was gorgeous.
Did you know Tom Brady, he never went to the Obama? He never went to the Obama.
I talk about it all the time.
I never knew
you
want
to just kick that real quick? He didn't go to the White House to meet President Barack Obama.
Why not?
And he said he had family things. And that same day, this is a fact. I don't fact check, but this is a fact. That same day, while the Patriots were meeting Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, he was at the Apple store trying on Apple Watches. Why you can't get some Apple Watches sent to you, Duke?
Are you serious?
You don't know nobody at Apple, Duke? You mean you'd rather go to the Apple store?
Are you sure?
That's a fact. It's been fact checked. It's been backed up. And you know, we've talked way out of our ass. We don't even know who's playing in 94, 95. I don't know what the...
Right.
That's a fact. Do you want to just end this podcast on what your opinion is of that?
I just think that's just terrible, man. I did not know that about his character until this week.
It was sort of brushed under the thing because I think people would have found out. And then everybody was getting hyped because Martellus Bennett, LeGarrette Blount, black athletes. And get used to it, Trump. They're going to have football teams showing up with 33 dudes. Okay? You're going to have
no basketball teams.
The basketball teams. Yo.
Not representing.
They're going to be like, there's going to be like a trainer.
Like the Cavs. I know LeBron ain't going to the White House.
I mean, Steve Kerr might go because he's classy, but he's spoken up. And he's, not to say that other people aren't classy. Steve Kerr might go because he's politically correct, but he might not be invited.
I mean, he might not be invited. Yeah, the basketball teams might not even be invited.
Who's going to show up?
Yeah, and
it's 12 dudes. It's not like football where it's 52 dudes. It's a tight-knit community of 12 dudes.
I mean, who's going to show up? Who's going to show up? I mean, so...
Would you go? I wouldn't go.
No, I wouldn't go.
If he was like, yo, Wood, I
want
you...
I wouldn't even go like Steve Harvey did.
Yo.
Or Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis gets on my nerves, man.
Your man Kanye went, and now he's...
Yo. What's up with that dude, dog?
All right, I got to get the fuck out of here. There's helicopters circling.
It is helicopters.
See, I am Rapport Stereo Podcast. My man Wood Harris, recurring guest. We got to do it sooner.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, you're going to see him in all sorts of shit, and I'm done. No fact checking.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tale. Toyota. Let's go places.